Into the message this morning. I've been asked a couple of questions by several different people, so I'm going to touch on a couple topics and kind of hopefully this will clear the air for everybody. First off, I've had some people say that they're interested in membership again. Now, we just had a few people join here at the beginning of the year. That's fine. We're always open for new members if that's something that you're interested in. See me or see Pastor John while I'm gone over the next 3 weeks. Just get your name in. And when I come back, we'll look at having a membership class. For all those who are interested, all that's required is that you're in agreement with the ministries and purposes of the church, that you have been baptized, that you attend the membership class, and that you go through an interview with the elders. They're a scary bunch. Not so much. So, if you have any interest in that, please let me know. If you're wondering if you are a member or not, if you're wondering, you probably aren't. We don't make a big deal of it. I'm only saying it because people have asked. If you have any questions about that, again, just see me. Second thing is about this trip to Liberia. I'm leaving Friday. And this is kind of something that God put on my heart to do. I went to the elders and I said, can I go? And they gave me the freedom to go. However, nobody is funding this. The church isn't paying for this. There isn't some group that's paying for this. This is coming out of Donna and my pocketbook and what the Lord has put there. So I just want everybody to know that's that. You know, if somebody wishes to help support their trip, that's fine. But I want people to know that the church isn't paying for this. Neither is any other group. Now, it is true, I was asked to be the chairman of the board for a group that I'm going to be seeing while I'm there. However, I was already planning to go before they asked that of me. So they didn't ask me to go to Liberia. I took it upon myself to go. And I said, well, after I go and I see what you're doing there, I'll make my final decision as to whether or not I will serve in that capacity. And that, again, would be, chairman of the board would be a volunteer position. It would be something I would do in addition to my being pastor here. It would not in any way pull me away from the ministry here, aside from going to Liberia once a year. Little detail. So, just wanted to make sure everybody was clear on that. Again, I am leaving on Friday, and I expect to return back to Minnesota on Monday the 28th. Don't expect me in the office until the 29th. Because I will be very tired on the 28th. I guarantee it. So with that, let's just turn our Bibles to Isaiah chapter 14. And let's take a look at this taunt which Isaiah gives to the king or kings of Babylon. It says, on the day the Lord gives you relief, in chapter 14, starting with verse 3, Isaiah. On the day the Lord gives you relief from suffering and turmoil and cruel bondage, you will take up this taunt against the king of Babylon. How the oppressor has come to an end. How his fury has ended. The Lord has broken the rod of the wicked, the scepter of the rulers, which in anger he struck down peoples with unceasing blows, and in fury subdued nations with relentless aggression. All the lands are at rest in peace. They break into singing. Even the pine trees and the cedars of Lebanon exult over you and say, now that you have been laid low, no woodsman comes to cut us down. The grave below us is all astir to meet you at your coming. It rouses the spirits of the departed to greet you, all those who were leaders in the world. It makes them rise from their thrones, all those who were kings over the nations. They will all respond. They will say to you, you have also become weak as we are. You have become like us. All your pomp has been brought down to the grave. Along with the noise of your harps, maggots are spread out beneath you, and worms cover you. How you have fallen from heaven, O morning star, son of the dawn. You've been cast down to the earth, you who once laid low the nations. You said in your heart, I will ascend to heaven. I will raise my throne above the stars of God. I will sit enthroned on the mount of assembly, on the utmost heights of the sacred mountain. I will ascend above the tops of the clouds. I will make myself like the Most High. But you are brought down to the grave, to the depths of the pit. Those who see you stare at you. They ponder your fate. Is this the man who shook the earth and made the kingdoms tremble? The man who made the world a desert? Who overthrew its cities and would not let its captives go home? All the kings of the nations lie in state, each in his own tomb. But you are cast out of your tomb, like a rejected branch. You are covered with the slain, with those pierced by the sword, with those who descended to the stones of the pit, like a corpse trampled underfoot. You will not join with them in burial, for you have destroyed your land and killed your people. The offspring of the wicked will never be mentioned again. Prepare a place to slaughter his sons for the sons of their forefathers. They are not to rise to inherit the land and to cover the earth with their cities. I will rise up against them, declares the Lord Almighty. I will cut off from Babylon her name and survivors and offspring and descendants, declares the Lord. I will turn her into a place for owls and in swampland. I will sweep her into the broom of destruction, declares the Lord Almighty. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you, Lord, that you speak to us through your prophets, through your word. That you, Lord, hold up to us an example that we can learn from. Father, help us to learn. Help us to know you more. Show us what lesson you would have for us this day. Father, I pray for your anointing to be upon me as I preach your word. Might I speak with power? Might I speak with the leading and anointing of your Holy Spirit? Might I speak only your truth? And Lord, encourage your people. Bless them here. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, basically, the last half of verse 4 through verse 21 is a poem. It's all one poem. It's written as a lament. It's a style of poetry. Now, it's translated into English, so we don't really catch a lot of it. But it would be very recognizable to those who heard this as a lament. However, it's not written with the pomp, if you would, of what would normally be accorded a king. So it comes across sarcastically. It is a taunt, as we're told. This is the taunt. You know what taunt is? Nah, 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 nah. That's a taunt. You can't get me. I'm way up here. Okay? That's a kind of a taunt. Another taunt is, you know, to say, hey, you're not what you think you are. You think you're so special, you're really just not. Okay. Comedians make a lot of money doing taunts on TV to powerful people. This is the Lord speaking through his prophet to people who think themselves powerful. Okay. Difference. See, God is the one who's in the position of power and real authority. Real power, real authority. Earthly power, earthly authority is the position that the king of Babylon has. All the nations around are afraid of Babylon, and rightly so, because they are powerful. They are ruthless. They're the 800-pound gorilla in the cage of gerbils. Okay, nobody else can mess with them. Babylon was all that. But what Isaiah is saying, Babylon, you're not going to be all that. This is what your end is going to be. The word pictures that are drawn here are meant to bring up pictures of just how oppressive they were. How oppressive Babylon and its kings were. And how terrible it was. And how everybody's going to... Nobody's going to be weeping, but everybody's going to be celebrating. Ah, yes, they went down. Yes. We have even the trees bursting out into song, exulting that the king of Babylon, that Babylon will be laid low. They got nobody pulling for you. Everybody's happy to see you gone. This picture of standing in their graves and what's going on is kind of a mockery of what would normally happen when the king showed up. See, instead of having nice, comfortable furniture to sit on, which he would have had the best, instead he has maggots. Instead of being clothed and covered in nothing but the best and finest raiments, what's he going to be covered in? Worms. Does that sound pleasant to anybody here? Not so much. This is the future. This is the judgment upon the king. All great people want to be remembered. They want to say, my legacy shall go on. You know, yep. And he's saying, nope, you're going to be... Your future, what's going to happen to you, you're not going to get to the afterlife and find that somehow you're powerful. You're going to be laying in maggots and covered with worms. You're not going to be anything special. In fact, you're going to be something which is ground down under my heel. That's what's happening in this lament, which is really a taunt, this poem. It just goes right to the point of all the things that somebody who's rich and powerful and a king would expect and say, not for you. Not going to happen for you. And his legacy, he's told that even his legacy is going to be wiped out. Not going to happen. Your children? No, not. They're going to be gone. The king, your kingdom that you had, it's going to be laid waste. It's going to have, you know, birds like owls and be stagnant ponds like a swamp, water. This is not going to be a good place. Now, Revelation chapter 18, I didn't tell you guys about this, but it's 18, starting with verse 2. In Revelation it says, with a mighty voice he shouted, fallen, fallen is Babylon the Great. She has become a home for demons, a haunt for every evil spirit, a haunt for every unclean and detestable bird. Moving on to verse 18, it said, terrified at her torment, they will stand off, far off and cry, woe, woe, O great city, O Babylon, city of power, in 1 hour your doom has come. When we look in Isaiah, we see here, he says, I will turn her into a place for owls, into a swampland. I will sweep her with the broom of destruction. You're just debris on the floor. The housewife is going to sweep you up and you're going to be gone. This is the prophecy. The word against the king of Babylon. Which king? The king isn't even alive yet. When Isaiah's on the ground here, Nebuchadnezzar hasn't shown up, but he's the one that's coming. But what about the kings? Maybe it's not Nebuchadnezzar isn't the one. Maybe we're talking about Belshazzar, or maybe Darius, or one of the other kings. Well, quickly, What have they done that is so deserving? What is so terrible about these guys? I almost fell down laughing when we had our first song come up today. You know, Daniel in the lion's den. Why was Daniel thrown in the lion's den by King Nebuchadnezzar? Because he wouldn't fall down and worship. He said, when you hear all these different noises, you hear the harp, the lyre, the zither, and you're supposed to fall down and worship me, said Nebuchadnezzar. This is an appointment. And Daniel wouldn't do it. So Daniel got thrown in the lion's den. Is that the right one? Am I getting those mixed up? Let me go. That's Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. I knew I did something wrong. That was Belshazzar that sent him in, that shot Daniel into the lion's den. And that one because he wouldn't pray to... Well, that was Darius. Get my... I really should have wrote that down. I knew when I was talking about more than one king, I'd get things messed up. Okay. Nebuchadnezzar, he messed up. He wanted worship. Nebuchadnezzar, and he had Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego thrown into the fiery furnace. Let's get our Bible stories right. Ignore everything the pastor said that was wrong. Didn't happen. Edit that in your brain. Please edit the tape. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego were tossed by King Nebuchadnezzar because they wouldn't fall down and worship. Then we move on to King Darius, who did indeed throw Daniel in the lion's den because Daniel wouldn't stop praying to the God of the Heaven Most High. Then we have King Belshazzar. What did he do? Oh yeah, he took the holy items from the temple and profaned them by using them at a party, a licentious party that he had. Okay? He took stuff that was items from the temple that were meant for the sacrifice of God and for serving only God. And he profaned them. So which king? All of them. The kingdom of Babylon. All of it is what's up for judgment. And we see each of them receive judgment when you go look at Daniel. But in Isaiah here, what we see is one of the things, interesting things about prophecy is that it often speaks on more than one level. Okay, it's what Isaiah is speaking here is the immediacy, the issue that's happening with Babylon, the kingdom, that is going to come and conquer and enslave the people of Israel. It's going to happen. But he's saying, Babylon, don't get so high and mighty because you have problems. Because of your hubris, because of your pride, because you have set yourself above God, God is going to lay you low. That's what's going to happen. So that's on one level. On another level, part of this passage actually points to Satan, points to the fallen angel. In particular, how you have fallen from heaven, O morning star, son of the dawn. You have been cast down to earth, you who once laid low the nations. So we're looking at this. This is speaking directly to the kings of Babylon, but just as the kings of Israel point to Jesus, the kings of Babylon point to Satan. Okay. Babylon is the symbol that we see used in Revelation and elsewhere in Scripture as the enemy, as Satan, as the one who will be defeated in the end. In fact, is already defeated. We just haven't finished the story. So we have that level pointing there. And then we have then the third level is indeed the last day. The prophecy of this is what's going to be happening in the last day. We can look at this and see that these things are all going to be worked out in the end times, in that day. Now, if I stand up here and say something, the likelihood of me being able to speak to something that's on three levels like that is pretty much zilch. But because of the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, Isaiah is able to do this. And we can look at it and see the truth in what he's written. Now, what is the biggest issue? Well, the biggest issue with that's being addressed here is that those who had been given earthly power and authority abused it. The kings of Babylon held themselves up. The complaint against them here is in verse 13. It said, you said in your heart, I will ascend to heaven. I will raise my throne above the stars of God. I will sit enthroned on the mount of the assembly, on the utmost heights of the sacred top. I will ascend to the tops of the clouds. I will make myself like the Most High. Hello, don't do that. Bad things happen when we do this. And we see it all laid out right here. The judgment has come here. This is hubris. Hubris is a false pride. It's saying that you have done something that you didn't do. All the things that the kings of Babylon accomplished weren't done in and of their own strength. It's because God allowed it. Because God gave them the power to accomplish these things. God used Babylon as a tool to accomplish His ends. Nobody is in a position of authority except that God allowed it. So when we find ourselves in a position of authority, we need to ask ourselves, am I working for God here, or am I working for me? Am I holding myself up, or am I holding God up? The downfall of the kingdom of Babylon, the downfall of the kings of Babylon, was their usurping that which was God's. Saying, give me that worship. Give me that prayer. Give me that which is holy. I want it. People, we need to steer far away from that. We don't want that for ourselves. We see the judgment that will come upon those who do. We are called to live as children of the light. We, as we celebrated communion, are ones who have been forgiven and are now children of God. But as such, we should not seek to usurp our Father's position. Even Christ submitted Himself. The Lord didn't think Himself more highly than He ought. We best not. So this morning is a cautionary tale, a reminder of what is ahead for those who seek to claim that which is God's. They may see some benefit here on this earth. They may see some temporary achievement of their ends. But again, it's temporary. And what they are going to receive in the end is devastating, crushing judgment. I don't know about you. I don't want it. And I want to warn those around me about that so that they don't go down that path. So this is a cautionary tale. Let us be faithful to our Lord in serving Him. Let us be faithful in giving Him all that is due Him. And not seek in the sin of pride to grab that which is God's. Let's pray. Father, we come before You and we thank You for Your Word. We thank You for Your love. Lord, we thank You for this Word which tells us that even those who have power on this earth and do cause terrible pain and hurt will face ultimate judgment. And that which they most desire will be taken from them. Lord, might we steer well clear of that path. Might we follow You and give You all that is due Yours. Might we not reach out and try to take Your glory in any way. Father, we give You the honor and the glory this day. And we thank You for the love of Jesus personified with His gift at the cross, symbolized through the communion table. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's stand as we close, and we'll be singing, "Turn Your Eyes Upon Jesus."